now on Racing Pulse, RSN's racing editor, Matt Stewart.
Pakenham's a terrific jumps track. He said you probably have to put in a few more steeplechase fences along the back and down the side, but he said Pakenham's as good as it gets for quality, safe, classy jumpers coming through.
For more news, opinion and selections, head to rsn.net.au.
It is time to get all the latest news with RSN's racing editor, Matty Stewart. Matty, how are you?
I'm good, Michael. Beautiful day. The latest jelly report is my 18-year-old went in last night and they've never been more everywhere. So that's most important news for me this morning is that jellies haven't gone anywhere.
Yeah, it's not good. Even though it's 30 degrees, you might need to don the wetsuit, Matty.
You know what we need? We need a jelly. We need a jelly alert thing for all the bayside swimmers to give updates on where's safe and where's not. So just a little idea that you and I can work on, given we both swim in the bay.
Well, you can update us with the jellies again tomorrow. Speaking of not stinging or prickly, but it was an interesting interview with Gareth Hall yesterday and Willie Pike. Gee, did a great job as he always does. It started off a little wobbly like a jellyfish because...
Good segue use from you this morning.
I was searching for it. I was a bit surprised if William Pike wanted to come on and be open and honest about what is happening, how he still didn't want to be open and honest about what his reasons were. If you haven't had a time or a chance to catch up with the interview, here's a snippet of what Willie Pike and Gareth spoke about yesterday.
I guess the question everybody wants to know, Pike, is why won't you get vaccinated?
Well, it's probably more a question to sit down and you have a cup of coffee over. It's probably not something that you discuss on a radio show.
Yeah.
But I've got my own personal and private reasons for it. And, I'll have a coffee with you one day and we can talk about it.
I read an article in The Age today, Pikey, and it says that you're reluctant to get vaccinated because you had a flu shot 20 years ago and you had a bad reaction to that. Is that the main reason that you won't get vaccinated?
Yeah, that is definitely one of the main reasons why. I wasn't sick. I tried to do preventative measures and got really sick. So it didn't add up in my mind to try that again.
Are you worried that if you do go to New South Wales, the rules might change, or is it just a situation where you're just going to take every day as it comes in a way, Pikey?
Well, I sort of have to take every day as it comes. It's definitely a possibility that the situation will change and... they're the rules. All I'm trying to do is stay within the rules. I'm not asking for anything special or anything like that. I'm just trying to stay within the rules, and the rules at the moment over in Sydney allow me to ride, so that's what I'm going to pursue.
He's a likeable guy. Obviously his intentions are the way he thought these things through, Michael, and the conclusions that he's drawn, and I don't think anyone can resent that. I left the interview a bit unsatisfied that Pikey could have maybe offered a little bit more clarity, even though it's a private and personal thing, as he says, but I thought he could have brought a little bit more to the table. The flu shot thing was an interesting one because in his previous interviews about when he gave a little hints at why he hadn't been vaccinated, he spoke about things like an experimental jab and untested and all those sorts of things, and he'd never previously mentioned the flu jab. So that sort of flew in as a more recent addition to his rationale. So, I don't know. What did you make of Pikey's attempted explanations of as much as he did bring to the table about why he wasn't vaccinated?
I think the last grab that he said there was probably the essence of it in the end, where he says, look, I'm not trying to break any rules, but the rules are now allowing me to ride. And that's where I don't have an issue with William Pike not wanting to get vaccinated. That's his stance. That's his personal decision. But the fact that he's now been allowed to ride whilst not being vaccinated when everyone else has made the sacrifice and some people were forced to walk away from the sport, that's not William Pike who has set those ground rules. That's the New South Wales government and then Racing New South Wales to follow that. That's where I have more of an issue. William Pike's doing what he's allowed to do, so he can do that. It's more from Racing New South Wales and their stance to say, you know what, we forced people out of this industry because we told them you needed to get vaccinated, and those that didn't want to probably did, and made that sacrifice because they needed to keep working. And then when you've got 98, 99% of people who have made the sacrifice to then open it up for those that haven't subsequently, that's where it just sits a little uneasy with me.
I wanted more clarity because I want people who are anti-vax or non-vax, I want them to be able to explain in light of the scientific evidence of the value of it and the greater good and the community and all this sort of stuff. I want them in the context of that to be to offer a reasonable explanation about why they're unvaccinated. Is it the fear of the jab? Is it they don't trust the science? And if he doesn't trust the science, be prepared to say it. Say I don't trust the science, you know. So, no, I still think the essence of it is, and I'm not hanging him out to dry, I just think if you, against the greater good and the overwhelming community acceptance of it, if you have an objection to it, tell us why. What's your problem? I mean, and some may agree and some may not, but you're probably entitled to explain what it is about the vaccination that you don't agree with, and he didn't do that.
Oh, I would like to have heard that myself, but again, it's an individual decision that, if they want to keep private, they can keep private. Whilst it would be good if you're going to come on and have a chat about that, that you actually do give some clarity publicly rather than say, let's just have a talk about it over a cup of coffee. Well, I can understand, unless there's something that is a medical issue, which I don't think there has been any talk of that, people would be curious and you would like to know that. But for me at the moment, whilst I disagree with not getting vaccinated, I think the fact that Novak Djokovic gets kicked out of the country because he's not vaccinated. Kelly Slater is told you will never get into the country because you're not vaccinated. Yet William Plock, you're not vaccinated. You can go and ride with everyone now in New South Wales. It just doesn't sit right. And that's not William Plock's fault. That's the rules that are in place in New South Wales and New South Wales racing.
And you know what? Because I'm, I've got a certain take on this, but, and what made me more concerned was the comments under the story, say under the story I wrote and other stories, over like more than 50% basically with an anti-vax mentality. It's, we don't trust the jab and all this sort of stuff. So I think what the Djokovic thing and all these high-profile people like Willie Pike and the ones you mentioned and also Chris Lewis, the most famous harness figure in Western Australia, their attitude tends to resonate and tends to affect people's mindset. So that's why I think people like Willie Pike, if they do have this view, which is quite contagious amongst others about being unvaccinated, if you do have this view, you're at least entitled to explain why you have this view. That's to me, it's quite simple.
One thing is, it's a contentious issue that certainly does split a lot of people's thoughts. The SMS machine blows up every time we talk about it. It is what it is.
Yep.
Now we'll find out what the future lies. Because I'm looking forward on the other aspect to see
same.
How it actually goes and takes on the best of the best after being the biggest fish in the small pond, how he'll actually compete against those over in Sydney. It'll be fascinating to see.
Exactly. And, he's a superstar. And, when he came to Melbourne, he sort of raced to the top pretty quickly, and against the J-Max and so on, it'll be interesting to see. And I think William Pike is genuinely a little bit excited about this challenge. I know he's always said, I'm very comfortable where I am and I've got the farm and I don't feel the need to prove myself elsewhere. I get a sense, listening to other parts of that interview with Gareth, that Willie Pike, part of him wants to shake things up in his own life a little bit, and I think he's mostly looking forward to seeing how he goes week against J-Mac and all those guys. Could he be the best jockey in Australia, this Perth guy? So, no,
yeah,
I am looking forward to that part of it, for sure.
Hey, just a little side issue from yesterday. We spoke about the fact that Racing Australia no longer has the CEO, that role, the Australian Jockeys Association no longer has a CEO because that role was made redundant. Off the back of Racing Australia's lack of any meetings and any board meetings that have been occurring. Craig Staples, who's the chairman of the AJA, got in contact with me yesterday, which was great. I really appreciate that. And he said, look, we basically had to make that role redundant because of the standstill at Racing Australia and the restrictions on travel. But he said, we still see there is a huge role for the AJA to play, overarching, and even more so because of the state-by-state separate rules. And of course, they've got Kevin Ring, who's the national OHNS officer, and they need to try and have some cohesion about these different state-by-state rules. So Whilst it may not be as strong as what it would once have been seen to be because there are no national rules in racing, Craig's saying there is still a major role for that. And it leads on to what we're talking about, the Trainers Association as well. Now, things are becoming more fractured and it's pretty much run state by state because there are so many different rules, probably more so in the jockeys' ranks than there are in the training ranks. But again, this is another issue which is stemming from the lack of any movement from Racing Australia.
Well, that's right, you know. So the, you know, and the centrepiece for all of that is obviously Peter Volandi. So these are all things that are, you know, the ripple effect of his absolute refusal to wander near the board table and to negotiate and to compromise and things like that. It has effect beyond just the obvious stuff that we keep talking about, re the war between racing New South Wales and Victoria. So it does all stem back to the one issue, and that is to me, it's Peter Volandi. So, yeah, interesting. Hey, on a more positive note, there was a... we've been talking for the last few days about the progress made by Debbie Weymouth, and she continues to make baby step progress at the Alfred from all her injuries, and today's report is quite positive as well. And then, of course, over a year before that, Yedida Clark suffered a terrible injury in a track mishap down at Cranbourne, yet she's bobbed up a little bit lately, and she bobbed up again yesterday at Sandown. She had a long shot winner that she previously trained and now obviously part owns or owns. It's called Mega Mia, and it won. And this is the response from Yedida Clark at Sandown yesterday.
But Mega Mia quickly whooshed to the front now and drew clear. Going to second is Miramai Express, and on the inside to Jumbuck. In front, Mega Mia, and Mega Mia went on to win.
Oh, I'm just so thrilled today. I really am. I'm just so thrilled to see that all go like that because I was screaming and shouting. And oh, today's a special day. It really is. Oh, I've had so much faith in her. It's unbelievable what I've, you know, the faith that I've had in her. And, you know, and I've had it, you know, I've had it. Pretty stirred up.
You get the drift.
You know, there's a lot of crap going on in the world at the moment. There has been for a long time. But to see that last night, it melts your heart. It brings a smile to your face. And Dita is so well loved. And the passion she has for her horses, they're like... they're like her own kids, the way she treats them. And what she went through 18 months ago, where it was touch and go with that severe brain injury that she had, and to see her make the physical comeback that she has as well, and then to see that yesterday, it just was brilliant.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And as I said, Debbie is coming along okay as well, so she certainly hasn't gone backwards. I think the latest is wandering around the ward, getting the tube removed from her throat. 9 broken ribs, and the jaw will be somehow wired on Friday, tomorrow. So she's making progress as well. So that's good news. Your little champion had a nice little trial at Warwick Farm this morning, very elegant, and ran a nice cosy fourth to the Speedy Home Affair. So everything's on target for Very Elegant.
Yeah, she looks good, doesn't she? And Home Affairs, I know you take a lot of credence out of these barrier trials, Matty, but Home Affairs certainly looks big. I've got a very happy Lee Jordan who's going to join us as well, because this Lightning Stakes, the Black Caviar Lightning, could be the race of the autumn with the field that is going to be assembled if they all come together. Hey, just quickly before we leave Sandown, what happened yesterday afternoon? Was it a bit like when we were broadcasting at my house last year and you pulled the wrong plug and everything went off air?
No, don't. It's still too soon for that one. You know it's still too soon. Power outage, a power surge, whatever you call it. And this was after the fifth race, and it sort of basically blacked the joint out for about 15 minutes and then everything popped back on again. So if those watching who kind of wondered what was going on at Sandown, there was a power surge in the area. And it caused an outage and it caused a delay at Sandown. So, yeah, that's what was going on there.
All right. Matty, good job as always.
Hey, ask LJ if the American Horse Sprinters, if he knows anything about the American Sprinter, you know, the Breeders' Cup Sprint winner for the Lightning, because the latest few weeks ago was that it was, you know, you might remember you spoke to our man Tom Magnier. Golden Powell. Hopefully Golden Powell's still on his way.
All right, we will do more of that. Hey, just a bit of breaking news. I just got an email here, and we'll do more than this, that Al Dwyer from the Moonee Valley Racing Club is leaving, and he's been a huge part of the Moonee Valley Racing Club, from media into the racing area. So, and he had a great association when Winx was winning a four Cox plate. So he's now leaving Moonee Valley, and he's heading up to the Gold Coast Suns to be their new General Manager of Media Communications and Digital. So well done to Al taking his young family up there. That's a great job for him, but he's going to be missed at the Valley. He was very, very good in his job, Al Dwyer at Moonee Valley Racing Club. So sad to see him go, but well done on the next chapter.
Absolutely. Oh, just another quick one. I'm trying to get hold of Peter Chadwick, the Chief Steward at Keurig, just to work out if racing in Queensland is going to do anything about this Mitch Fenton, you know, this rogue, illegal Twitter Coolangatta bookie who we've written about and spoken about. Trying to work out whether they're going to warn him off or try and track him down. Can't get hold of Peter Chadwick at the moment, but hopefully I will. Also trying to get hold of Paul Erickson at Taz Racing to give us some clarity about the wipeout of the King Island races for the next month or so as well. So we hopefully might have some update on that on the website later on.
All right. Good on you, Matty.
Thanks, mate.
RSN's racing editor.